You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The play-in begins tonight, but there is major news surrounding the playoffs and a star that will not be available and what that means for his team. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I am outstanding. I am outstanding, and I am excited for the beginning of the NBA playoffs and the play-in tonight, which we will get to in just a few. But we got the news just a little while ago from Woj, who broke it. Apparently, the Milwaukee Bucks are preparing to be without Giannis Antetokounmpo for the beginning of their series against the Indiana Pacers. They are hopeful that they can have him later in the series. But, Joe, that is something that right out of the gate has to affect everything when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks, when it comes to this series in particular to begin with. Your take, Vegas take, give me all of it right away on this series with no Giannis.
Bucks originally opened as a minus 190 favorite to win this series. That means you risk $190 to win $100. It was bet down rather quickly. A lot of Pacer money came in, moved it down to about minus 165. Now you're only betting 165 to win $100 on Milwaukee. This news surfaces this morning. It plummets all the way down to minus 130. Now you're risking only $130 to win $100 on the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's the reaction in Las Vegas. My personal reaction when it comes to the series, very quick take. I think this is the buy point for Milwaukee. I liked Indiana prior to all of this. Now you see the adjustment. The bookmakers knew it was unlikely Giannis was going to go early in the series. Mm-hmm. Now we see this massive adjustment, and a lot of people are hung up on the fact that when they met five times during the regular season, Indiana went 4-1. That was a while ago. The last of those meetings was January 3rd. Yep. Remember, Buddy Hield's no longer there. His shooting is no longer there for the Pacers. Benedict Mathurin, he's out with a torn labrum. So this is a different-looking Pacers squad that ranks 24th in defensive efficiency. I think you got a nice opportunity here with Milwaukee, but maybe that's just me.
But they also do have Pascal Siakam now.
Correct.
And that is the guy that they did not have in any of those first five meetings. I think it obviously makes a huge difference. And it's important to hear right away that they're not going to have him early in the series. Again, not ruling him out for the entire series. They're hopeful to get him back later. But I like the fact that right away, Joe, that they are not pushing this. There is no need to push this right away for the Milwaukee Bucks. Because as I've said, this is not a team that right now is constructed to win the championship. And the first person to tell you that when they don't will be Doc Rivers, because he's got all of the excuses lined up, from joining the team midseason to all of the adjustments that needed to be made to all of the tough scheduling they had. Whatever it was, Doc will have it for you. But Joe, we can talk about this series. I think the Milwaukee Bucks, without Giannis in the first couple of games, ultimately I like Indiana to win this series. And this is what Milwaukee wanted based on how they played the other day. They wanted no part of the Sixers. But you know what? Let's talk a little big picture here.
All right.
We have heard from a couple of different places and want to let you hear what we are seeing in terms of the long future of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I want to get right away to a couple of sound bites. The first one from Stephen A. Smith talking about what happens if the Bucks lose and what they should be thinking about doing.
If Milwaukee loses, I said, I think you need to consider moving Dame up out of there.
He just got there.
Let me explain. I'm not talking about his game. He's not happy there. Now, he's got a lot of distractions, which are his business, mm-hmm. and we wish him nothing but the best. Because a lot of us would not be able to handle it as well as he's handling it. But nevertheless, whatever support system that you're looking for, and I'm sure they got love for him and they try to support him or whatever, but it's one of those situations where if you are not happy in a situation, albeit because of outside reasons.
Right. He wanted to go to Miami.
And I know he wanted to go to Miami, too. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. I mean, you got all of that going on. That's a lot to deal with.
All right, so let's absorb that. That was yesterday on First Take. And then there's Wendy this morning on Get Up, responding to that thought from Stephen A.
If they lose in the first round, that's a big statement right there, number one. If they lose in the first round, the first person you're worried about isn't Dame. It's Giannis. Mm. You want to make sure Giannis is still committed. And also, when you talk about this first round, you got to worry about where Giannis's calf is, if he's going to be 100%. But if they go down in the first round again, they have that disappointment back-to-back years, I'm not sure where Giannis is going to be. But no matter what happens, this is a flawed roster. They clearly did not, the panacea that they thought Dame Lillard was going to be wasn't the case. They're going to have to make changes one way or another, and they basically mortgaged their entire draft in the future. So they're going to have to get creative, and I do think it's possible that Dame could be looked at. But you got to make sure Giannis is committed to it first.
Joe, I told you, I was out there, you know, a few weeks ago back in the middle of March, and Giannis' logo is all over that building, including in the tunnel underneath. The number one priority for the Milwaukee Bucks has got to be figuring out how to keep Giannis happy in that situation. Whatever happens in these playoffs has nothing to do with that.
What more does he need? What more does he need? Wasn't all last offseason about everything he needed, everything he wanted, everything he was upset with? He made it pretty clear he wasn't going to sign any extension. He was not going to commit to a long-term future with the Bucks until, you know, he saw that they were committed to going out and competing for championships at the highest possible level. So what did the organization do? They showed him that they were committed. They went out and they made a deal for Dame Lillard. And let's not pretend as if Giannis didn't have any say in that. It's not like they're going to get to the end of that negotiation and not run it by Giannis. They're going to see how he feels about it. So he's going to endorse that deal. They bring him in, and then he decides, okay, you know what? This does look good. So I will take all the money from you now. And he signs that contract. Doesn't go well. 1 year in. And now all of a sudden we have to go back to the drawing board with Giannis, and we have to see how he feels, and we have to figure out how to make him even happier. What more do you want? At what point is it on you to go ahead and deliver? I understand there's the injury. I'm not making a case that you need to rush back and you need to win an NBA championship. What more does the organization need to do for him?
All right. Well, a couple of things. Number one, he already has delivered. They've won a championship with him. Number two, are you new? I mean, this happens. The contracts don't matter in the NBA anymore. They really don't. When you sign them, doesn't matter anymore. We saw this with many other stars. One that comes to mind right away was Carmelo Anthony. The Knicks handed Carmelo Anthony whatever he wanted in terms of the contract, and a year later, year and a half later, he's out. Like, this is the actual contracts themselves and the money, it's all set at a level where it doesn't matter. So I have to constantly be focused on how to keep that guy happy. Now, I would say that if Dame is not happy in Milwaukee, we can find a home for Dame, and we can find other players that will line up to try to get to Milwaukee to play with Giannis. And for me, I get what you're saying. You're right. They did all the right things and it didn't work, but I don't believe that was Giannis's fault. I believe when you look at the rest of that roster right now, it's old, man. It's an old roster. And you have the second oldest roster in the league, in fact. Chris Middleton is, well, he's questionable. Not today, not tomorrow, in life. He's questionable from here on. There are still guys that can help that team, but they need help defensively, and they need help in other areas. And if we have to reshuffle it again to try to make Giannis happy, that's what we're
going
to do.
So maybe instead of going out there and dumping all of our assets into one player, we go ahead and, I don't know, here's just, I'm going to go off the cuff with this. We build a team. How about we do that? We build a team. We get several players who can contribute. We don't need all-star teams. These all-star teams don't work. The Bucks were at their best when they weren't an all-star team. They built it from the ground up, and then they went out in free agency, the trade market, and they added. That was Jrue Holiday, the key piece that put him over the top to win the title. Look at the last three champions. Golden State was a homegrown team. Denver is a homegrown team that went out and made the move for, what was it, Aaron Gordon a couple years ago. You build it up with your stars. It takes some time. You keep the coaching in place, the players in place. You build, you learn, you build, you learn. You add a couple pieces here and there, and then hopefully you put yourself in contention for a championship. You're going to play battleship basketball here. B2, miss. Okay, D4, hit. Nice. D3, miss. Like, if that's your strategy, you're not going anywhere. And right now, that's where they're caught up. They had a good team. They needed some tweaks. What they did was fire the coach, and then they traded away Drew Holiday, a great defender, and they gave up a bunch of picks because they needed another star player in Damian Lillard, because they needed to make Giannis happy. Giannis is not a general manager. Giannis is not a director of personnel. Giannis is a basketball player. His job's to play basketball. But because the Bucks are so hell-bent on making him happy, they did whatever he wanted. So they made a bad move for a guy that's a great player but just doesn't really fit with them. The season's going down the toilet, and now what? We're going to go back to Giannis and see what his next move is? Why is he being consulted to make all the decisions? Because you want to make him happy? Great, you can keep him then, and you can continue to lose basketball games, because that's the problem right now. You don't have a team. You just have a collection of talent.
Well, but that's the expectation for stars around the league. It's not just Milwaukee. That's everywhere. So this didn't work.
Is that how it is with Steph and Golden State?
I think, do you think they don't run everything past Steph when they're going to do something big?
I think they absolutely do. I don't think Steph sits there and flexes on him and threatens him about whether or not he's leaving, and that if they don't make him happy, I don't know, I might not sign this extension. Steph's never been like that.
No, Steph's never been like that, and he's had a constant cast around him that has won multiple championships, which makes it easier to be like that.
Guys they drafted, guys they built up with a coach that they've had in tow since the 2014-2015 season. Consistency.
Yep, that's all fair. That's all very fair. But it's also not realistic in life in the NBA anymore, because these guys are not talking about wanting to draft and develop. That's not the way it goes. Unfortunately, you are 100% right when you talk about the Bucks being at their best when they were not an all-star team. 100% right. Won't disagree with that at all. But moving forward, you need the centerpiece. You need the centerpiece of it all. Giannis is why they won a championship. In addition to those other pieces, Dame Lillard didn't fit. They have to figure out how to make sure that Giannis is going to be happy and how they're going to take a swing number two at making this. Listen, if Giannis wants out, this is all over. We're starting from scratch. And you can't control that. But to me, the biggest thing they can do right now is make sure that they are keeping Giannis here. And that has nothing to do with the playoffs right now. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. We are just getting started, man. There is so much NBA to get into. The play-in tonight, we've got the Lakers, we've got New Orleans, we've got Golden State, we've got Sacramento. So, speaking of Steph and the Warriors, could this be the beginning of the end? That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Quick reminder for all you degenerates out there, we do have a baseball game at 1:10 p.m. Eastern today, so there will be a Carlin versus Joe day betting alert around 1 p.m. Eastern. There it is, loud and clear.
Day betting alert.
But to the business at hand, coming off a disastrous weekend at the Masters, we look to rebound strong, and we begin a solid playoff run right now. Two props for you tonight in the Golden State-Sacramento game, both centered around Domantas Sabonis. We're going to go under 8.5 assists. We're also going to go under 39.5 par. Par is points, assists, rebounds combined. So add up all his points, his assists, his rebounds, and we want it to be less than 39.5. Here's why. Golden State knows how to limit Sabonis with Draymond Green, especially in these big matchups. Last year in a 7-game series against the Warriors in the playoffs, Sabonis averaged just 32.1 par per game. That's 7 below tonight's prop. On top of that, when you look at the assists, he went under 8.5 assists in all 7 games against the Warriors in the playoffs last year. He went under it in 2 of 4 regular season matchups against Golden State. More importantly, he's gone under in, I believe, 14 of the last 25 games total. So the bottom line here is we want to go under 8.5 assists and under 39.5 par for Domantas Sabonis in tonight's matchup with the Warriors.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. That game with the Warriors and Golden State will be on ESPN Radio this evening. 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time is the beginning of our coverage. My cousins and Kalena Azubuki will have the call. But, Joe, I am fascinated to look at this game tonight and wonder aloud if this is the last game that we see the big three in Golden State together. Because if they lose, as we know, they go home. I was, frankly, of the opinion for most of the day today that this would be it. I'm not necessarily convinced that that's the case now, just in doing a deeper look at the numbers and such. But I do think that when we look at this right now, this is going to be a storyline here, whether it's the next couple of days, whether it's the next couple of weeks, that this is going to be the end for it all. And that's, I'm kind of blown away by the fact that we have reached that point when we're talking about this. Is tonight the end in your mind for the big three?
So there's essentially two elements to that question. Number one, do we think they lose tonight? And then Number two, if they do, or if they end up losing down the road, is this unit going to be broken up? I do not believe they lose tonight. So the very easy answer is no, this isn't the final time we're going to see them, because we'll see them again later this week, taking on the loser of the Pelican-Laker matchup, which we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. I'm very confident they handle their business tonight. There might be some pizza money on that as well. But to the bigger picture as to whether or not this unit is going to be broken up, I don't know. But if I was to give an opinion as to what I think should happen, yeah, I would look to trade Draymond Green, and I would say goodbye to Klay Thompson. And that rips my eyes out, man. It rips my heart out to even think about that. Because as you and I have talked about, like, I moved there for a radio gig in San Francisco in December of 2014. My first day on the air, I believe, was December 8th. The Warriors were in the middle of like an 11-game winning streak, coming off a season in which they lost a 7-game series in Game 7 to Chris Paul and the Los Angeles Clippers in the opening round. Like, they were 30-1 to win the title that year. No one thought much of them. Draymond Green wasn't even a household name. It was David Lee, if you remember. Oh. David Lee was in the starting lineup, and that's when they started to change things a little bit. Everyone always talked about Andrew Bogut and rim protection. Could Andrew Bogut stay healthy? If Bogut couldn't stay healthy, the Warriors couldn't compete. That was the talking line all year. And then we all know what happened. And I got to be front and center for that for years, for 6 years before I moved down to Las Vegas. So the idea of saying goodbye to Klay Thompson would gut the fan base, because that's a guy with a 100% approval rating. Draymond Green, approval rating not 100%, but also still very productive in terms of what he brings to the court from a passing, defense, and IQ perspective. But you only have so many years of Steph Curry left in his absolute prime, and what you have right now just isn't good enough. And given the amount of money you've spent and given the situation you've put yourself in trying to win these last few years, you got to make some big, hard, tough choices. If you decide to move forward with the Legacy Act, I understand why. It sells tickets and people love those guys. But I think if you're trying to win a championship in the final years of Stephen Curry as the star of the Golden State Warriors, the organization would be better served moving on from both guys.
I don't disagree, but somebody does. And that's Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider. And we heard from Wendy earlier. Here's a little more from him today on Get Up on if tonight will in fact be the last game of the Warriors' big three.
I think they like the way this team finished the season, 27-12 down the stretch. Top 10 offense, top 10 defense. They're a quality team. They're going to have to reduce their payroll, Greeny. They're spending almost $400 million. Klay Thompson is making $43 million this year. He will not make that from anybody next year, and certainly not the Warriors. He's going to have to take a 10-figure cut, not 10-figure, 8-figure cut to come down. Mm-hmm. And Chris Paul has an option, a team option for $31 million. They're not picking that up. I'm not saying he wouldn't stay there, but they're not picking that up. So they're going to reduce their payroll by tens of millions of dollars, make some changes on the edges. But I think they bring Klay Thompson back. I think they like the way this team plays at the end of the season.
See, I think they've been trying to tell us all season long that they wouldn't, and I would be careful here, Joe, because if we're going to look at just down the stretch of the season, and I get that it's, you know, how well they played over that 40-game stretch, there have been plenty of times that we've seen remarkable inconsistency in the middle of that. To see them go out and lose games that they just get embarrassed in, the Boston game comes to mind. But I think they've been trying to tell us that because they hadn't done a contract with Klay all along this year, and you're right, their responsibility right now falls to maximizing what Steph Curry has got left. It's one of those situations with Klay, Joe, where they have to get out a day earlier than a day later, because Klay has, you know, since the injuries, he's not the same player that he was defensively, and I think we all know that Klay is on the downswing. And I also think that if you asked Golden State right now, if you ask their front office, if you ask Steve Kerr, and you gave him a little dose of truth serum, would you have given the contract a 4-year deal in essence to Draymond Green again? They might want out of that right now.
Yeah, I would say that if Klay's willing to take a big discount, and that's a huge if, but if he's willing to take a discount and essentially come off the bench, I don't see anything wrong with that. He's still averaging 18 points per game and shooting 39% from deep.
Like, what does the discount look like? Cut it in half?
I have no, I don't know what he'd be willing to agree to, because the thing is, what it would require is him to be okay with a slap in the face.
Yeah.
That's what it would be. And he's going to sit there and say, man, you paid Draymond. I was a part of this huge dynasty. I played a major role for this dynasty. I deserve better. And one thing that's kind of lost in this, the organization had no problem paying a lot of money to Andre Iguodala at the end, and they didn't even play him. Like, yeah. I think it was something like 20, if I got to go back and look, so don't quote me, but I think at the end, it may have been somewhere around like 18, 20 million a year to basically just sit on the bench and play the Udonis Haslam role of just like the veteran presence who was there. And he meant a lot to them during the dynasty, don't get me wrong. But once you start handing out legacy deals to certain guys, the guys who played bigger roles are going to want that as well. So if he's willing to take a lot less to come off the bench and, you know, support the team, yeah, I could see that. But if he wants his big payday, I think it's got to be elsewhere. And for Green, look, he can still play, but the distractions and the problems have outweighed the production. He is not a Defensive Player of the Year candidate anymore. He's not an All-NBA candidate anymore. Back then, this type of stuff, when you're producing at that level and winning championships, people can sweep it under the rug. But when these problems escalate to this point and they become this big of a distraction and you're not producing to that level, you're no longer as valuable to the organization. I would look to see what you can get in return, and I try to build something new around Steph Curry.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, all the play-in tonight. We have got you covered pillar to post on that, including the Los Angeles Lakers as well. Then the other legend out west who is facing a bigger question this week. We discuss in moments after Joe has this from our friends over at Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have both the knowledge and the experience to answer all of your toughest questions. In addition, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe, but more importantly, keep your people even safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lakers 124, Pelicans 108. The Lakers earn the 8th seed and will play in the 7-8 play-in game.
The Lakers should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7th seed. You want to be the 8th.
Harlan, if I may, how about Christine Lisi bringing up the fake news?
I know.
Big upset. She's the first to mention politics today.
Wow. That is a bit of an upset.
And we don't endorse that, Christine. So if you get in trouble, that's going to be on you.
Yeah,
we stay far away from politics on this show.
That is, listen, Rory may have said it, but that is your phrasing, Christine. You made the conscious choice to use those two words, which I think we can all agree are rather polarizing.
Yeah, and now that the door's open, we might as well get into the trial everything else around here. I mean, you know, we owe it to everybody. They want to hear what we have to say.
It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. Because if there's one thing we know that we should do, it is certainly not to stay in our lane.
Right. People wake
venture
up in the
out.
Morning thinking, what is Chris Carlin's thought on January 6th? All right, now we're probably pushing the envelope a little bit here.
We're a team, but I would say Joe was pushing the envelope right there. Listen.
Okay. Straight face.
Foxhole Carlin. That's what you got right there. I got your back, buddy, until you really throw a grenade at us.
Once it gets controversial, I'm out of here, okay? When the times are good, I'll be tight with you.
All right, let's get into Palestine.
Okay. Okay. This is a slippery slope.
You know, we're not even, I'm looking down at that slope and I'm not even jumping on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joe, let's get into the Lakers tonight. How about that? You okay with that?
That seems like something we could screw up just as well.
It does, but I don't think in nearly as an offensive way.
Right.
You know what was offensive? Mike Greenberg was offensive. Mike Greenberg is thoroughly offensive with this take on Greeny.
The objective is not making the playoffs. It's getting to the finals. It's winning the championship. You have no chance of doing that, in my opinion, if you draw Denver in the first round. What you have a chance of, if you wind up on the other side, is beating OKC, winning another series. That would be the 4-5 series winner. So that's the Clippers or the Mavericks. That's much more winnable than Denver. And hoping that along the way, maybe something happens to Denver.
In other words, tank it in game one of the play-in tournament and worry about game two. That is the Greeny game plan for the Lakers to go as far as they can in the postseason, because they don't want to play the Denver Nuggets. They'd rather play Oklahoma City. Dear God, can we stop? And this is me. I understand. Same guy yesterday who is telling you that the Knicks should have tanked it in the final regular season game. But that's for a series. That's for not what amounts to a playoff game, Joseph.
Far more noble.
That's what I think. Always have been. So with that, I don't get where Greeny's coming from here, because if your argument is you don't want to play the Nuggets, well, at some point you're going to have to, right? At some point you're going to have to. To me, worry about not playing a team when you're further down the line and as an older team yourselves, much more tired and beat up. I'd rather get the Nuggets when I'm at full strength.
For starters, I do want to give Greeny his flowers. He has hammered home this talking point for 2 days, and he swung some people. Weaker minds, yes, not us, but some weaker minds have been swung into his camp. He has made a very compelling case for a very ridiculous argument. But
now,
are those people
just people that are worried about their airtime on Get Up? I don't know the answer to that. Could be.
I don't get any Get Up airtime. You know, I'm willing to jump on board, Greeny.
If there's one rule of ESPN, you do not cross Greeny. That's it. Because he is one son of a gun if he gets on your bad side.
I would.
Or you're on his bad side.
To your point, though, I would much rather have Denver later in the playoffs. And so I don't think you and I see eye to eye on that, but I think there's compelling arguments on both. If you're going to face Denver, let's look at them as currently constructed. They are healthy. They are rested. They are playing well. Everything is where they want it to be right now. Why would you want to take them on at their absolute best? I would want them later in the playoffs because there's a chance something happens along the way. They somehow find themselves in some 7-game series they didn't expect that ends up taking a lot out of the gas tank. They end up in a situation where maybe the fourth or fifth best player rolls an ankle and is unable to go. The longer you get into the playoffs, the more that can happen. And the more that can happen in a negative way to the Denver Nuggets is something that can help you down the line. Right now, you could also suffer the same fate, but if you suffer any sort of injury, any sort of issue in the margins, you're not going to beat them. You're not going to beat them anyway because they're the best team in the NBA. But if we're talking purely about do you want Denver early or late, I don't want them now. Why would I want them now? They're at full strength, they're healthy, and they're rested. What's my advantage there?
Your advantage here is that you are at full strength. You're as close to full strength as you can be, right? You're not sitting around waiting for somebody to come back. You are putting yourself, worrying about your own health first and foremost. And listen, you're always going to be dealing with it when it comes to AD. I don't want to push it down the line where they are a team that, frankly, I expect to be playing at their best throughout the course of the playoffs. I don't worry about the Nuggets really wearing down. Number two, you know, the Nuggets are probably looking at the Lakers and saying, we swept them last year. This, you know, this is not going to be a thing. I'm not going to say they're going to be sleepwalking through it. Yeah, maybe they're nodding off a little bit early. Maybe I can get one or two in the first part of this series where they're not taking me as seriously, and then I try to lock it down for the rest of the way and see if I can find a way to get, you know, two of the last four games, something like that, if I can win two of the first three.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I would approach it, because if I'm ever going to have a chance to smack them in the face and kind of catch them when they haven't hit their complete playoff groove, it would be now.
It's a stretch, but the entire conversation's a stretch.
Well, I mean, yes, we both know they're losing anyway.
Yeah, it's we're just trying to figure out what the better scenario is for them. I mean, I get it. Maybe they come in overestimating you a little bit. But again, it's tough to do that when it's LeBron James. Like, I figure anytime you see LeBron James on the calendar, you're thinking, all right, like, it's LeBron. Even if he's at a different stage in his career, we can't take this guy lightly. He's still playing at a high level. We've seen what he's capable of doing. Denver doesn't strike me as a team that's going to get caught sleepwalking. They seem to be one of the best coached, well-organized, well-led teams in the NBA. So I could, you know, see your point there. The idea of you at full strength and them at full strength, that just seems like a losing proposition. I'd rather roll the dice, hope that somehow you stay healthy and that they end up in a scenario where something works against them and boom, maybe you catch them off guard. Like some of these scenarios where a guy misses a weight cut in UFC or he's coming off a brutal fight or he didn't have a good training camp because he had staph infection, whatever it may be, sometimes that's the best way to take out the opposition. You just catch a little bit of help. And if you're the Lakers, or anybody else for that matter, looking to take out Denver, you're going to need a little bit of help.
Joseph, we have thought one NFL team would take a quarterback early in the draft. And history tells us that probably won't happen. We'll tell you what we're talking about in just moments. I'm Carlin. He's Joe. We are apparently versus one another on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit, Michigan.
The Detroit Lions select.
It all begins with round one, Thursday, April 25th.
The NFL Draft is now officially open.
The countdown rolls on. The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
In just moments.
Day betting alert.
That's right.
Yes.
Day betting alert.
Little Texas Detroit coming up. We'll have a play for you. It's Carlin versus Joe. Favorite show, Mr. Worldwide, that's for sure. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph, interesting sneaky hembo this morning. I don't know if you caught it. It was the trivia question centered around the NFL draft and the Dallas Cowboys. Who has been the highest drafted Cowboys quarterback since Troy Aikman in 1989 when he was the number one overall pick? Good question. We're going to give you the answer, and I'll give you a chance to ruminate about it for about a half a second. Okay, that's enough. Your answer was Quincy Carter.
Oh.
In the second round, 53rd overall, 2001. I almost thought it was Dak, to tell you the truth.
Like that's kind of where I was coming. So since 1989, which wasn't exactly a couple years ago, the highest drafted quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, 53rd overall, Quincy Carter.
It's 35 years. Yeah. Think about that. That's 35 years ago that Troy Aikman was selected. So since then, it was Quincy Carter at 53rd overall. 12 years after that.
Damn, Aikman looks great for his age.
He really does.
He looks fantastic. That's not where this was supposed to go, but I'm just thinking 35 years since he was drafted. He looks fantastic.
I really got to start looking into getting a lot of work done.
I think we're past that. I'm not sure the guys from Nip Tuck or anywhere else for that matter could get where you need to be Troy Aikman.
If there's one thing I don't need to be Troy Aikman. I just need to be the best version of me.
I think that's pretty much what we've got right now.
I think it's fixable by science. Joe, the Cowboys select 24th and 56th overall. I have been on this. You know I have been on this.
On it.
Second, third round. Do not be stunned if the Cowboys take a quarterback. We heard Adam Schefter talk about this. And I tell you, you know, I heard Schefter this morning even making the comment along those lines of, you know, it could be six quarterbacks in that first round. Joe, is there any chance? Is there any chance whatsoever, based on that being the history, that the Cowboys could end up doing this and take a quarterback in the first 2 days?
First 2 days?
Well, first day one.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That's what we're rooting
that's
for.
That's the storyline I want. I don't need them drafting a quarterback in the second round on a Friday when everyone's heading into the weekend. That's a story, no doubt.
You want Thursday night, 10:15-ish,
steal the
when
show.
They're going to draft.
Steal the expletive show from everybody else. Steal the show
Michael
from
Penix.
The Bears. Steal the show from every possible angle out there. Realize, Jera, the whole world's watching. This is what the Cowboy brand is all about. Big news. big headlines. Rodgers was smart. Our quarterback in New York, fellas, he was smart a few years ago when he came out. He was talking to people, suggesting the idea he might not be happy in Green Bay. And boom, he stole the show that night. This would be how the Cowboys steal the show. Draft a quarterback in the first round, create complete chaos around your team from now through the inevitable firing of McCarthy and the saying goodbye of Dak Prescott. That would be incredible theater. Is it a smart move? No, absolutely not. They need players now who can come in and contribute to winning a Super Bowl this year because they didn't do anything in free agency. But God, Carlin, how juicy would that be?
The stage in Detroit might burst into flame. It would be amazing. Oh my God. Like, even just thinking about the prospect just has me so excited. I would love to see Chris Canty's face if that happened. I would love to see Mike Tannenbaum's face if that happened. And Joe, like, yes, let's call that on a scale of 1 to 10 at 24. If they took one at the first round. If they took one in the second round, that's still a round of 9, brother. Because there is still going to be a lot of talk around how the second round quarterback looks. And I'm telling you, listen, at the very worst, Spencer Rattler's a Cowboy in round 3.
As an Eagle fan, I love that. Like, yes. I'll be completely honest. I love that move. In the second round, yeah, because the second round pick at quarterback, that's you saying this is our future starter.
Yeah,
like that's exactly what that's saying. Like, you draft the guy. I remember in Philadelphia when the Eagles drafted Kevin Cobb in the second round. People didn't sleep on that. That all of a sudden was, oh, hey, now we're moving on from Donovan McNabb. Didn't see that one coming. Now here, I think people wouldn't be as surprised by the Cowboys doing this because they have two quarterbacks on the roster, Dak Prescott and Trey Lance, both of whom will be free agents after the upcoming season. What is your plan at the most important position in sports? Like, think about where they are right now. Outside of us having fun over whether or not they draft the guy in the first round and how big of a story that would be, let's just assess the fact that the Dallas Cowboys have no idea who the quarterback's going to be a year from now. You know who's in that situation? Really bad football teams. Like, the New York Giants don't know who their quarterback's going to be a year from now. Right now, Minnesota has no idea who their quarterback's going to be a year from now. You go around the NFL, you don't find good teams that are in a situation where they don't know who their quarterback's going to be 1 year out. The Chiefs are well aware of who it's going to be. The Chargers understand who it's going to be. That's going to be Justin Herbert. The Eagles are probably pretty solidly committed to Jalen Hurts, even though he's coming off a down year. And the list goes on and on. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. You don't need me to go through all of them. Dallas has no idea who their guy's going to be. They might think they do, but contractually, they do not have it secured. That's a big risk, man.
It is. And that's why I'm trying to really pay attention to the signs and not anything else, because I think the Cowboys are trying to tell us by not giving Dak his money in advance and being just a hair proactive about it, by not really doing anything else, being comfortable with that as a result of it, because you didn't create cap space. And you have basically told us that if Dak doesn't get it done in the postseason, it's time to move on and you need a solution. And the one thing I keep hearing is next year, not the great year for quarterbacks. So where is that solution coming from? I tell you what, Penix being a Cowboy, is it out of the realm?
So you got Penix over Nix.
I would take Penix over Nix myself.
Okay, now let me ask you this. I've got one extra layer for how this story could be even better. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Dallas drafts at 24. We're sitting around. We know the Cowboys are coming up, but, you know, we're in the 20s. You've been on the draft show for a while. You guys are probably, you're probably hungry. Let's be honest.
No question.
The big man's hungry. You're working with Tannenbaum. You're working with Canty. Your boys can eat. Ian Fitzsimmons, your boys can eat. Like, that's an all-time eat group right there. But,
yeah.
You've been working hard. You're grinding. You know Dallas is coming up. And then right before you get to the Cowboys at pick 23, currently the Minnesota Vikings, you get the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and someone trades up into that spot to get one ahead of Dallas to draft a quarterback. Someone gets the word that Dallas is going for a quarterback at 24, and they jump one spot in front of them, and they take their guy. Discuss.
Wow. First of all, it would disappoint the hell out of me. Because I do want... Listen, I think if there's one thing that you and I have both shown pretty clearly on this show, we root for chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Chaos is the best.
Imagine Knicks goes like, let's just say Knicks goes like 11 or 12, and then Penix ends up going 23 in my scenario where someone trades up, and then Dallas panics and drafts Rattler in the first round at 24.
That'll never happen.
Well, don't ever say never.
That'll never happen.
But that's what we want.
That's what we're rooting for. Listen, whatever it takes, I get it.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.